It is time for Arts Live and Local. Carol Newman is still carousing around the country, but she will be back next week. In the meantime, my name is Roger Rocca, and I will be sitting in. And we have a good show today. We're going to be talking about Nosferatu, the very famous legendary movie about vampires, the silent film that will be shown tonight at the PAC. And we'll be talking about some other things dealing with the PAC as well, and we have some music for you, too. So please stay with us, and how's this for some music to start Carol's show? I don't think she usually plays things like this. That is Bach. It's his Toccata and Fugue in D minor, and it's something that many of us associate with horror movies. And tonight, Nosferatu at the PAC, and we're going to have music on that great organ at the PAC. And we have the organist with us this afternoon, Jeff Fox, also Constance Wisenden and Charlene Larson from the PAC. Constance and Karen Temple from the PAC are here to talk with us about the PAC and about how Nosferatu fits in with the efforts to keep the PAC alive and vibrant and working. Jeff, if I may, let me start with you. You're going to play organ tonight for Nosferatu. And we just heard a little Bach, but I'm playing for a silent movie has got to be really an art, because you have to, what you play has to kind of match the action that's going on the screen, right?
You need to follow the action on the screen, and also, it is very good to be able to, what they call improvisation. And a lot of the silent movies in the teens and 20s, the organist would get a cue sheet, and it would say minutes 1 through 3. They'd give you 4 measures of what to play, and then you would have to make it up on the spur of the moment. And then when you got to minute 5 to 8, there'd be something else.
Now, have you played for Nosferatu before? Will this be something you've done before, or is this going to be a virgin voyage tonight?
I've done it twice up in Bellingham at the Mount Baker Theater, which still has its original Wurlitzer Theater pipe organ.
Great. So do you have a cue sheet or anything like that, or are you just going to be doing this from memory or from your own cues from having done it before, or how will you handle that?
I do have some cue sheets, and some of it's up in the head, and if you lose your spot on a cue sheet, you just improvise and keep going.
So if we hear a little polka or jazz music, we'll know you've lost your place.
That's
Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Well, Karen, you know about the movie itself. Can you kind of fill us in? This is a very famous film. We've all heard the name of it, Nosferatu, and it strikes fear into the hearts of man and so on. But I'm not sure how many of us have seen it, and tonight's a chance. It's at 7 o'clock, I believe, tonight at the PAC, right?
So I have been told. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the movie itself. What is it that makes it stand out? Why is it famous, and why should we see it tonight?
Well, as I've been wondering what to say about it, I don't really know. Most people probably just want to be scared tonight. But it really is an interesting and most important cinematic document of early movie making. The German film industry was very, very strong in those early days. They had a company called UFA, U-F-A.
And this would have been in the 20s?
We are talking, yeah. UFA was founded in 1917.
Mm-hmm. So
even before the end of World War I, and after World War I, the industry became very, very strong. The most famous directors were the one who made Nosferatu, whom we're going to see tonight, Murnau. There was Fritz Lang in the picture, who did the famous Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, equally as scary as what we're going to see tonight. There was the Pabst, P-A-B-S-T, and the fourth one was, it escapes me right now, my ancient brain. Anyway, only Fritz Lang transitioned into the sound era, Murnau did really not, but Astorians are really lucky in that 2 summers ago, the music festival showed Murnau's almost last, next to last film, and Nosferatu is next to his first film, The City Girl. I don't know how many of you were there. And there was special music written for it too, played by a chamber music group. Now, what makes these early German films particularly interesting is that they went at filmmaking the way a painter goes at a painting, and mostly compared frequently to expressionist painting, which was what was happening in the arts those days. They were not aiming to look particularly realistic. Mm-hmm. They were not that interested in plot or character development or any of those things. They were interested in the image. And so it gave them a whole lot of freedom to evoke emotions, such as fear,
for instance.
And I particularly find it fascinating that almost all of those German early directors seem to be in love with the supernatural and the macabre, if not to say the psychotic. The equivalent American filmmaker of that era, which would be Griffith, mm-hmm. he was much more drawn to either the bombastic nationalistic themes or to sort of sweet romantic themes. So very big break there in the subjects.
So sweet romance is not what we should expect tonight,
no,
is what you're saying.
No, absolutely not, no.
I did look at my notes, and it is 7 o'clock that it starts, and the box office at the PAC will open at 6:15, and there are going to be refreshments as well. So you can have something to munch in the lobby between being scared.
The film is not particularly long. I think I have read 84 minutes, something like that. I don't know if that's totally accurate. Yeah.
Well, this is one of many events that are done to raise money for the PAC itself. Constance, you've been at the center of that effort since the beginning. Can you tell us something about that and why this is important and overall what's going on?
Yes. The college has, as we all know, struggled for funding, as have community colleges across the state. And so at one point, they were considering what they would do about the Performing Arts Center because the maintenance costs on the building run somewhere around the neighborhood of $25,000 a year. And there are 3 major performing arts groups, the North Coast Chorale, the North Oregon Symphony, and the band. I always called them the Symphony and the Band. And those 3 user groups both rehearse and perform there and would have difficulty finding an alternate space. So we joined together with some of the other key players that use the facility, the Astoria Music Festival, Maddox Dancers, and really put together a plan, working with the college, a partnership, to keep the building open. And the agreement we have is essentially that we will do fundraising to cover the costs of keeping the PAC open so that it's cost neutral for the college. Mm-hmm. Now, that having been said, the college right now, the Historic Preservation Group, is working on the windows at the PAC and restoring the wood-framed windows, which, as you can imagine, in a building that old, needs some work, which has been a wonderful partnership with them, with Lucian Swerdlov's group of students. But there, we have this continuous need for fundraising, and if you do the math, that's a couple thousand a month that we need to be mm-hmm. bringing in just to keep the building open, to say nothing of being prepared for the inevitable emergencies that may come, mm-hmm. whether it's the heating systems or electrical or some other part of the facility that needs upgrading. So it's an ongoing fundraising effort, and of course this performance is part of our fundraising effort. We plan to have 3 major organ concerts this year. This is the first of them.
Is the fundraising coming primarily from events or grants, donations, a mixture of all? How are you
doing
that?
We have a mixture of both. We have been blessed that the College Foundation, which is a 501c3, acts as our managing partner, so that all donations to the Performing Arts Center are tax deductible. And so they act as basically our fiscal agent. And that way people who do their donations still get credit for it.
How does this look long term? I think a lot of supporters for the PAC would like to see it continue, you know, as far as we can see. And so you're raising enough money to kind of meet the year-to-year costs of the PAC. The building, obviously, as it ages, is going to need additional work and additional work. Is that sort of all part of what you're raising for?
Yes.
Does the college intend to keep the building, or
the college has? We have committed to a 2-year agreement at this point. The college has not made any indication that they intend to sell the building. They would like to see it available for community performances. It's just a matter of cost right now for them, and so as long as we can do the fundraising to keep it open, that's one step. But the next step really needs to be what I think you're alluding to, which is creating a sustainable plan for long-term management of the building. And we've had a very dedicated user group who've been meeting on a biweekly basis for the last couple of years and really keeping the programming going. But it's time at this point to really look into what kind of a formal structure do we need to put the building on a firmer footing.
And where are you in that process at this point?
We're in the process right now of gathering some folks together, some of the best and brightest in the community, to sit down and give us their ideas about how that board might look, and hopefully draft some of those folks to be on that board.
Well, suppose there's some people in the community who are very interested in the health of the PAC and would like to pitch in and help. How can they best do that?
Okay, well, first of all, we talked about, or you alluded to it a little bit earlier, certainly donations are always welcome. We will be doing specific projects, for example, to do some landscaping on the PAC, and so volunteer labor. Some of us have time, some of us have money. All of us have talents, and so there are many, many ways to engage with the process.
How would somebody get in contact in order to volunteer or to donate?
Well, we have a Facebook page and a web page, and there's contact information on there. I'm always willing to for someone to call me directly. My office is right behind the PAC, so I'm very convenient to be reached. And, of course, Charlene Larson, who, if you don't know Charlene and you live in this town, it's time you did.
Charlene, who was here in my imagination because I introduced her.
Charlene is present everywhere.
So
she's a force.
The web page and the Facebook page, if I were looking for those, would I look under Performing Arts Center, PAC?
Partners for the PAC, yeah.
Partners for the PAC. Yeah. Well, let's get back to tonight's performance again. Jeff, have you had a chance to play the organ at the PAC?
Today, yes.
Today,
yes.
You got to practice.
Jason has been working triple overtime to get the organ playing, and so we probably have about 2/3 of it that's playable, and it's a little different than others I've played, so I've been over getting used to the setup.
When you say 2/3 playable, is it that some of the keys, I guess I'm not understanding exactly how that organ works.
There's three divisions, three pipe chambers, and each chamber is assigned to one of the three manuals or keyboards. So the middle keyboard and the upper keyboard are both playing. The bottom keyboard, the choir division, still needs work. But you can, as technology goes, you can couple one manual down to another manual. So basically, I'll be okay. It's still going to be quite a challenge because it's a different setup.
well, we'll be listening for that polka music to tell us that you've lost your place, right?
Oh, sure. Well, either that or you'll hear something if I lost my place, but I'll try to keep it going.
Well, even having this organ working to this extent is due to the Partners for the PAC, right?
Yeah,
because it was dead.
It's an experience. If you have not been in the presence of a pipe organ, you can feel the music in your bones. It is not like listening to recorded music.
Right.
It's quite the experience when you're sitting in the middle of all that music being made around you. There's actual pipes up there that are vibrating.
And because it's so tactile, that ought to really add to the scariness of the movie, I would think, because when you hit the right note at the right time in the movie, you're not just going to see it on the screen, you're going to feel it as well.
You'll feel it. And you know, you orchestrate a pipe organ, so there's so many different tone colors that you can get. So if you have a merry scene, you can use a flute. And if you have a scary scene, you can use the trumpet down on the lower part of the keyboard and just have a lot of fun with it.
Karen, anything else to say about the movie itself?
Very much so, yeah.
would it be appropriate for children, or do you think over under a certain age probably stay away?
I don't know what children can handle anymore, so I'm not so sure. It was advertised as parental guidance.
My feeling has been this is more of a middle school teenager.
Mm-hmm. It's not black and white, so there's absolutely no blood and gore, of course.
At least not anything but black and white blood and gore.
Well, the interesting part of the movie is, of course, where the story and the title came from. Mm-hmm. It really is plagiarism in that it's Bram Stoker's story, Dracula, that they didn't have or couldn't afford, whatever version you want to believe, the copyrights for. So it was just a little bit rewritten by their scriptwriter, whose name is Henrik Galeen. And
rewritten just enough to avoid...
Well, they did get sued in the end. So the Nosferatu obviously doesn't occur in Dracula, so that was a new name, a new title. They replaced or transferred the action from Victorian England to Germany, to Bremen, and then, of course, to the Dracula Carpathian Mountains, but the shooting was actually done in Bavaria. Mm-hmm. And so they got around some of those things. And personally, I like the Nosferatu name a lot more than Dracula. I think it's an absolutely beautiful name.
Well, even instead of Count Dracula, it's Count Ulrich or something like that? Ulrich?
Oleg.
Oleg, yeah.
I think, yeah.
And what does Nosferatu translate to?
It doesn't. It's a made-up name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely. And the other change that the scriptwriter made is that he seems to have a very firm belief in the power of love, which is not in the Bram Stoker novel. You will have to experience how that manifests itself in the movie.
Well, I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to it. So what have I forgotten to ask you? What else? I don't want you to walk out of here saying, darn, I wish he'd asked me about...
Costumes. Come and costume. There will be prizes, very nice prizes. We're supporting our downtown businesses. So come in your costume. Come scary. Come funny. Come original. There will be a prize for you.
And I have to tell you, since you can't see Constance, as she says this, she is sitting there wearing some... Is that hot pink? Would you describe that as hot pink?
I think they're pure red with sequins and a bit of...
Horns.
Fluff on them.
Horns with sequins and fluff, as she tells you to wear your costume. All right. Well, thank you all very much. Nosferatu at the Pack tonight. It starts at 7. The box office opens at 6:15. There will be refreshments as well and organ music that you can feel as you listen to this classic and wonderful silent film from Germany from the 1920s that we've all heard about, and maybe tonight is the night that you actually get to see it. Wouldn't that be great?
I've played it before when I did the Rainy Day Films for the college. I did a college film series for almost 20 years, starting at the Flag Room and then morphing into the Pack.
You're going
to
make us
sad
now.
It's been shown here before.
Because we all remember, you know, the financial problems that the college has had because of funding being withdrawn here and there. We all remember when there was the Arts and Ideas program.
Oh, yeah.
And there's regular live stage activities. And
I was in the middle
of films
that.
You're
so
talking
it was really
about,
nice to be back tonight to talk about
the film. Yes,
and we have a vision of getting the Pack back to that kind of an event center where really events for the community will be held on a regular basis of all types. Films, lectures, as well as the live performances.
Say that a lot, because I think that's what really would excite people, the idea of being able to get back to that. That would be wonderful.
I miss it tremendously.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you, Roger.
All right. So we got a bunch of music today. It's not going to be scary music. What I've done instead, I know lots of people are playing lots of scary music for Halloween, and that's appropriate. But the music I've picked out for today is really all from it's from the Arts Live and Local idea. These are all folks who have appeared in Astoria or hereabouts at one time or another. Among them, Pink Martini.
or down, I'm gonna drown in a sea of deep confusion. Somebody told me, I don't know who. Whenever you are sad and blue, and you're feeling all alone and left behind, just take a look inside you and you'll find.
Nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe one. Don't get a hard one, plant them in the spring. Eat them in the summer, all winter without them, the culinary bummer. I forget all about that, sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a big one. And homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. You can go out to eat, that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. Eat them with eggs, eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on the side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Up homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
And you are listening to Arts Live and Local. Carol Newman is still off on her sabbatical, but she will be back next week. And what we just heard were two songs from people who have performed here. That last was Misty River with Homegrown Tomatoes. And before that, we had Pink Martini with Hang On, Little Tomato, in our sort of tomato-themed early part of the program here. You are listening to Arts Live and Local, and I should tell you that it's brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffee since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the old Finnish meat market. With three cups coffee house up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts. Open every day. And support for Arts Live and Local comes in part from Coast Weekend, the go-to guide to arts and entertainment in the Columbia Pacific region. It's your coastweekend.com. Well, lots of trick-or-treaters out right now. So as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, please drive very, very carefully. Assume with their excitement and candy and masks and costumes that they probably can't see you or at least are not that aware of you. So drive carefully enough so that you're being careful for you and for them too. Trick-or-treating is going on in downtown Astoria and in downtown Seaside until 5 o'clock tonight. Meanwhile, there's lots of other stuff. A Halloween carnival getting underway at 4 o'clock at Astoria Middle School that has a costume contest and carnival games, treats, face painting, and a cakewalk. In Ocean Park, kids are invited to trick-or-treat at Golden Sands Assisted Living at 5 o'clock, which would be kind of a nice treat for the kids and for the folks who live in that assisted living facility. There's a Halloween party at the Pacific County Fire Station in Ocean Park that begins at 5:30 with games and candy and fun. There's another children's Halloween party for kids 11 and younger at the Elks Lodge in Long Beach with fun games and lots of candy. The Monster Bash by the Astoria Parks and Recreation Department is going to be at the Armory this year. It starts at 5 o'clock with costumes and contests, games, prizes, entertainment, and refreshments. There will be zombies walking on the Riverwalk at 6 o'clock this evening. They'll be trying to steal the brains or the flags of runners in a benefit 5K run. Registration for that run begins at 5 on the Riverwalk at 36th Street, and I think if you are planning to be a zombie, you need to register as well because there are prizes and things. There's going to be a haunted trolley ride with ghost stories, songs, and treats. You can board the haunted trolley at Pier 39 at 6 o'clock tonight. And for older kids, the School of Nightmares Terror Night at Astoria High School from 7 to 10 p.m. tonight. And the Halloween Hellorium at Fort George Brewery with Los Estupidos, Mom Barley, and the String Gortet. And all of that starts at 7 o'clock tonight. Also, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is going to be shown at the Astoria Events Center at 9:30 p.m. Doors open at 8:30 with a costume contest and entertainment. There will be dancing after the movie, and that's for folks 18 years of age and older. So that's some of what's going on in this area for Halloween. I hope you have a great Halloween night and a safe one. And again, please drive very, very carefully. Well, we are lucky enough to have with us in the studio Howard Gable, and Denise Reed. And they're going to be talking with us about the Arts Council of Clatsop County. And their mission is to support, promote, and advocate for the arts in Clatsop County. So, Howard, let me start with you. Tell me a little bit about the Arts Council and how long it's been around and what you do.
Well, Roger, it really is Harold, but Howard, for some of my closest friends, works just fine.
Oh, no kidding. So I wrote down Harold.
That is Harold. That is correct.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. So, Harold Gable, tell us about the Arts Council of Clatsop County.
Well, Roger, it's a fairly new group that's been formed here. The County Commission decided that they had an approach that they wanted to look and wrap in a little more that they developed. And it is that newly founded group. And you just mentioned the mission statement that we have was to support, promote, and advocate art for what we have here. There are over 100 groups in this Clatsop County area involved in art at some point. Mm-hmm. Some are two-dimensional art, like we'd see in paintings or photographs. There's three-dimensional art, of course, in your sculpture and ceramics. There's dance, there's music, there's poetry readings, and a lot of these can even overlap. So we decided as a group it would be nice to do a survey, not of the ideas of us on the group necessarily, but to go out and reach out to the artists that are in this area and show in this area, to the galleries, to the businesses that show art that's posted for sale and available to them, as well as some of the patrons that frequent these galleries on a survey. And what we did was we just passed out the cards and asked the question about how do you see the Arts Council supporting arts here in Clatsop County with this mission statement on the other side. And so we're just in the process of gathering all that and completing a survey of how the results are coming in. And then we can map out a plan on how to best serve people and help them take available art for all of us here to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. How do you see that once you have the survey and the data in hand, how do you see the council actually moving to facilitate or to assist these groups or to bring them together with their audiences?
You know, that's a very good question. And we've brainstormed and come up with a myriad of approaches, but we don't know what the artists are saying they need and are having. And so what we've decided to do is take it to them. It's so easy for generals to decide the best way to work a plan, but if we want to design the right kind of clothes that an infantryman needs, by analogy, this is what we're looking at doing.
So not a top-down kind of thing, but a bottom-up kind of approach?
Hopefully, yes, and eventually possibly get into the grant side of things. There's so much here because think about it. When you were a youngster, Roger, the broader the base you had, we get narrower and narrower as we get older. And
we forget names.
Don't we? And so we oftentimes don't have art available to some of those. So maybe K through 12, we're looking at various avenues that might be there to help them be exposed that they wouldn't normally get. But driving in, as you mentioned, with the kids in Halloween, driving up Commercial, there are a lot of little ones all decorated up, and there's some creativity and some art going on from some of those moms holding their hands.
There is. Well, what a neat thing for Clatsop County to actually think about forming a council like this to work on this. I don't think a lot of governmental agencies in this day and age are thinking as much about the arts as perhaps we wish they were.
And I think it's not only local, but also at a federal level. There are some trickle-down approaches where certain things are done and arts needs to be wrapped in and included. And so there hopefully will be some funding available for some of these for approach to help a grant writer or grants that we can once these identify these areas with the artists and approach that they foresee help grants, and we could be a facilitator at a ground level mm-hmm. to help them promote art so that everybody can enjoy it more.
Now, just to avoid confusion, the Arts Council of Clatsop County is different from the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition,
right,
which is a group that actually gets a small amount of money that they're able to give out in grants to artists in the area.
That's true. And there are a number of other counties around. Tillamook County is a very nice one that has a wonderful website. And the Oregon Cultural Trust not only supports but helps them design their website and maintain the website. That's one where we don't want to see cobwebs on websites.
Right.
And what we're just in the process of doing.
We're trying to get a website and get it up so that artists in the area can come, can put their information somewhere locally so somebody can go in. Oh, I'm going to Clatsop County through that area. Let's see what's happening. And they can see what's happening in all of the cities right up the coast.
So we have kind of a central place
right,
to go to find out what's going on.
That's right, yes.
And is that, is there a target date for when that might be up and running?
Well, I don't think we have a target date.
We haven't heard of a target date yet. We're still in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's going to be the result of what this survey shows so that we can mirror where our approach would be. Obviously,
right.
The support, advocacy, and promotion of arts where we're coming from. And the electronic media where we all are today is really nice. But wouldn't it be nice if you were to come to a motel here on the coast and you could pick up a handout that's current, available, and shows what's going on currently for expositions
mm-hmm.
right then?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're looking at doing possibly. That's just one of the brainstorm ideas we've come up with.
And I think you're absolutely right when you said that we are rich with people who are artists and who are involved in the arts here. It's really, you can't walk down the street here without bumping into three or four artists of some kind, hopefully not with your car.
No, but that's a good point, because as mentors, as teachers, thinking back, all of us in our history have had people that really helped to maybe give us a little bit different point of view. Mm-hmm. And those artists that are here, if they got support in through these students in our outlying areas that are in some of the smaller towns that we have here in Clatsop County, if these children could be exposed to art, they wouldn't be otherwise. Through the help of some of the artists that we have to facilitate these mm-hmm. two together is something that we possibly may be able to help facilitate.
Now, do you need more involvement from the community and so on in this, or are you pretty much self-sustaining, or how does that shape up?
You know, I'm really not sure how to answer that question right now. I think we're still in our infancy looking at what we need to do and how best to really help that support. Mm-hmm. And like anything, I think we're open to hearing things and possibly, you know, get in touch with Scott Summers and through the Clatsop County. He's actively involved with our group of the nine members, and all of us are artists in an area where our focus has been on art. So all of us are involved in that, and it's a pretty good pooling of ideas so far.
So you have nine members who are drawn from the arts community around the county.
Correct. Right.
Different disciplines,
yes.
And so on.
Yes.
And Carol Newman is a member of that committee also.
Yes.
And Carol's absent today.
And she's absent today.
She is.
But
she is. Well, let me ask you the same thing that I asked Constance and Karen and Jeff, and that is, what have I forgotten to ask you that I don't want you to walk away saying, boy, I wish she'd asked me this because I wanted to get that out.
Well, you know what I wanted to say is about how much we need the humanities as a society. And the schools basically are teaching those things that'll get you a job.
Mm-hmm.
But what about after the job? As Harold was saying, you know, you go to a job 8 hours. What about after that? What are we doing? And I think the humanities help young people and older ones to answer big questions about how can I help society? How can I facilitate something going on to help the people in the society? And so we've got to have those humanities courses where people can look at the culture, look at the paintings, look at the music of those societies and see how it affected them, and carry that information with them to think about some big questions.
Well, I agree with you 100%, and if I hadn't taken math in school, I would have said 101%. Because it occurs to me often that if our whole being is focused on chasing the dollar, mm-hmm. if getting maximum return for stockholders is the only thing that's important, we get more and more sterile,
mm-hmm.
and life gets less and less rich and so on. And so we need someone pushing in the other direction and bringing us back to those things that bring life and beauty and so on to our existence.
That's right. We need the people who are creative to think about how we're going to solve this problem of our earth and not kill it. We mm-hmm. want it. We want it to flourish. How are we going to solve that? We need creative ideas about energy, about global warming. We need creative ideas, creative people. And without these subjects in there, they don't think creatively. They think it goes in one line, you know.
Right.
This is what I need to do. I need to know how to write this sentence, the beginning and ending. But what is this sentence about? What has happened in my life? The thing that helps also is, humanities help, is helps people to express themselves. Young people. I think I wrote this article after seeing The Nutcracker. I said, those young people with dance, they were expressing who they are.
Mm-hmm.
With music, they can express who they are. With art, visual art, they can express what's inside of them. And that's so important. If they're able to do that, then they have room to help somebody else.
These avenues of enrichment are the creative ones that come not in getting your job to pay the rent for those 8 hours a day, but those other 16 hours are going to give you not only the enrichment, but maybe the downtime to develop your own creativity, because you can't do it when you're focused on something else. Mm-hmm. So if we are able to find some mentors in your life where it's an interaction person to person, not electronically as much anymore, hopefully, but get you out of what you've been used to doing into something that may show you a whole new avenue out there of exposure, where you can find that your life is really a lot more enriched and really you become a more complete person.
Well, and you mentioned kids, and I think the arts do something else for kids by participating in the arts. They can gain a confidence and a sense of themselves that will serve them well when they're doing other things as well, when they're doing the nuts and bolts stuff. But it just kind of broadens your base as a person so that you're more solid and more capable. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to let you get away, Denise, without talking about the North Coast Chorale, which you direct and run. So what's going on with the chorale?
Well, we still have this children's choir that we got when we were doing Rutter's Mass of the Children. And I just enjoy working with them. I was telling Harold that thing about children is you sometimes sing them a song one time and they'll remember it. So a lot of them are remembering words, and it's taking me longer because I'm older. But they are right in it. It's so fresh. They're like sponges. They just take everything in. And we haven't been rehearsing but a couple of months, and they are just fantastic. That's going to be a unit with the North Coast Chorale now permanently, I believe. It's the Clatsop County Children's Chorus. We have about 20 children who are part of that now, and it's just a delight. We do give them an art session when they come in to sing. A short project, maybe 15 minutes, and all of this we're hoping is helping them to be more expressive in what they do, and of course in their singing. It really has shown that they are more expressive having had these experiences of art and music. Really, the parents are really.
Next performance is coming up for
next
the North Coast Chorale.
Next performances, we're going to do a Messiah sing-along. We're looking for instruments, so we'd like to be a sing-along, play-along. But Messiah sing-along will be November 30th at the PAC, 4 o'clock. And just come and bring your scores if you've ever sung it, or if you haven't sung it, come and listen. And then following that, we have our winter concerts on December 13th in the evening at 7 and December 14th. And it's called Holiday Traditions. And we're doing things from Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and of course the Christian celebration and a popular celebration, commercial. And we're also doing something about the winter solstice. So all of those traditions we're going to have at our concert. But we're also sponsoring that will be in here on the 13th in the afternoon. The Portland Gay Men's Chorus are going to do a concert to benefit the PAC. It's going to be at the Astoria High School because there are about 150 of those guys that will be singing. So we really couldn't put them in the PAC. But all of the proceeds from the tickets go to help support the PAC. Great. So those are things that are coming up this year.
Harold, final thoughts?
Well, you know, there's a saying, Roger, and it said, when's the best time to plant a tree? And it was 40 years ago. That's the answer. So if we didn't get a tree planted 40 years ago, when's the second best time?
Right.
Well, that's right now. Now, how that applies to the art is arts, and we've been talking about children here, but if you're an adult and you really feel you've missed out, that doesn't mean that it's passed you by. Tomorrow's another day. You can pick up the Coast Weekend. You can look at all of the things available for you to get out and enjoy, not just the people in Halloween walking on the streets today, when there's some great creativity there that I've already seen, but really begin to take stock and reinvent yourself. It's a good place to start, and we've got a lot of good things culture-wise right here in Clatsop County.
Well, we will be looking forward to seeing the results of your work and to seeing the results of the surveys you're doing, and I think that's going to do great things for the county. So thank you both very much.
Thank you, Roger, for having us.
All right. You are listening to Arts Live and Local. Carol Newman is still off, but she will be back next week. In the meantime, this is Roger Rocca sitting in, proving the old adage that when you get old and crusty, the first thing to go is your memory for names.
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you. We've just been talking with Harold Gable and Denise Reed with the Arts Council of Clatsop County. And my name is Roger Rocca. As we mentioned earlier, the weather is looking pretty good out there right now for the trick-or-treaters. We were kind of watching that all day to see how that would go. And tonight should be mostly cloudy, a 60% chance of precipitation. Showers are likely, and maybe a slight chance of thunderstorms in the evening. And then a chance of showers after midnight, lows around 45. Tomorrow, patchy morning fog, and then a slight chance of showers in the morning. Otherwise, partly sunny, and then a chance of showers in the afternoon. Highs of 55 to 60. On Sunday, cloudy, a chance of rain in the morning, then rain likely in the afternoon. Highs of 55 to 60. Right now, it's 58 degrees outside of our studios here in downtown Astoria. And just a reminder, there are lots of kids out in the street and in lots of costumes, and some of those costumes may obscure their vision a little bit, and they may be pretty excited. So please, 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 you be extra, 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 extra careful on this wonderful Halloween night. Well, you are listening to Arts Live and Local, and we've got some more music for you, again, from folks who have played here before.
Thank you. talking with my father. He's talking with his son. And I don't need to look any further for the one I have become. And he says, listen to that curlew. That's a sound I love to hear. It's a strange reflection that we look through, oh, that finally finds us here. In this place where life's heart thunders, in this place where time holds still, in this place of harmony and wonder and values not of gold fulfilled. Walking with my father across these gentle Perthshire hills, it's timeless mysteries that we gather and make the memories that we fill. He says, don't fix what is not broken. No need to find what's not been lost. For it's a heavy gate we have to open, an endless field we have to cross. In this place where life's heart thunders, in this place where time holds still, in this place of harmony and wonder and values not of gold fulfilled. Turns away with all too many things left undone. Oh, and so much left to say. Talking with my father, he's talking with his son. I don't need to look any further for the one I have become. In this place where life's heart thunders, in this place where time holds still, in this place of harmony and wonder and values not of gold. In this place where life's heart thunders, in this place where time holds still, in this place of harmony and wonder and values not of gold.
And that was Doogie McLean. We've been focusing this afternoon on music from people who have appeared in Astoria and hereabouts. That was Doogie McLean. And before that, we heard from our own local favorites, the Brownsmead Flats. And you are listening to Arts Live and Local. Carol is gone. Roger Rock is sitting in. Carol will be back next week.